The scripture lesson for this morning's sermon comes to us from the Gospel according to John. I'll be reading from the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 32 down through verse 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, she was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you were always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Here ends his reading. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. I'm not sure that I've ever quoted Woody Allen in a sermon. That could be dangerous. But this morning, that's how this one begins. Woody Allen has said, 80% of success is just in showing up. Now, when it comes to success, he might be right. But if you apply these same words, 80% of compassion is just showing up, I think you're most assuredly stand on solid ground there. Firefighters have this remarkable tradition, as many of you may already be aware, that when a firefighter dies, particularly in the act of serving, that not only that person's squad and department, but even firefighters from across their region, if possible, show up for their funeral. Out of respect for the one who has passed away and to show support to the family who is grieving their loss, firefighters show up in strong numbers. Now, back when deaths were so numerous for firefighters, as you may recall, immediately following the 911 tragedy in New York City, it became a real challenge to keep this tradition going, but public officials and leaders in New York put out a call to citizens, ordinary average citizens, not so different from you and me, that if you were able to please go and attend firefighters' funerals, it would really help this tradition keep going. And many dozen of them made it a habit, hundreds even, of turning up for these funerals of fallen firefighters. Now, in most cases, those citizens did not know the fallen firefighters personally, but they came to their funerals anyway. Their presence, you see, at these services came to mean a great deal to the firefighters still serving, but also to the families of the deceased firefighters. If for no other purpose, the citizens just showed up. And by simply showing up, they helped the fire department and these families to do their mourning and to feel love and support and to carry on. Showing up, you see, is actually quite an honorable thing and is worthy of celebrating. But there are times, if we're honest, that we feel completely unqualified to be of much help to anyone suffering pain, despair, grief, or agony of some kind. And yet, the ministry of our presence, just showing up, is something we can still do if we are only willing to show up. In the Hebrew scriptures, do you recall the story about the occasion when David, as a young man, was serving in the court of the king named Saul. Saul was irrationally jealous of David and wanted very much to murder David. And even though David's best friend was Jonathan, Saul's own son, Jonathan was not able to persuade Saul, his father, to leave David alone and stop trying to kill his best friend. And so, finally, all that was left for Jonathan to do was to show up and to warn his friend David to run away as fast as he could in order that his life might be spared. So David and Jonathan, the two friends, met for the last time, both feeling very sad about having to part ways. And as the scriptures in 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, describe it, they wept with each other. It was Jonathan's presence. It was the fact that he cared enough to show up and to warn David that saved David's very life. Or consider the New Testament incident from Acts chapter 9, where a good Christian woman named Tabitha had died, and some friends asked Peter to come over, and when Peter got to Tabitha's house, he found a group of widows who were already there, and they stopped weeping long enough to show Peter some clothing the good woman had made and even given to people in the community. These women were friends of Tabitha's, you see, from the neighborhood. With Tabitha dead, there was not much they could do, but they showed up anyway. And while they were waiting for Peter, they were probably doing the dishes left in Tabitha's sink, giving her house a quick dusting and some tidying up. Who knows? Maybe they swept her sidewalk. It wasn't all that much, you could have said on one hand, but they showed up, they did what they could, and they cried with Tabitha's family. They showed up. Is there really anything we could do sometimes that would really make a difference in the outcome when we are waiting alongside a friend in the hospital while their spouse is having emergency treatment following a terrible accident? Is there anything we could do to change the outcome? Is there really anything we could do that would make a difference in the outcome for a friend who has just been told that he or she have terminal cancer? Could we really do anything that would change the outcome? That's my question. Is there really anything we could do that would make a difference in the outcome for parents whose child has just committed a serious crime and whose hearts are broken as they imagine what the future may hold for their child or the separation of their families? Is there really anything we could do that would change the outcome? That's my question. And what about for some friends whose marriage is falling apart? Is there really anything we could do for them that would change the outcome? Most of the time, we may not actually be able to change the outcome, but when we allow ourselves, we may just be able to change how the outcome is experienced by those nearest to it, and we make the difference in how it feels for those nearest to it by showing up. And when we show up, we are providing a ministry of our presence. And our presence, you see, is tangible proof that we care. And when we care, we're willing to show up even if it's uncomfortable. Even if you say, well, I'm an introvert, we can still show up. Even if we cannot change the outcome because we believe that somehow something difficult is experienced along the way, and in the long run we won't change it, tragedy or heartache. If tragedy or heartache is experienced in isolation, the pain is so much greater and more traumatizing than experiencing those things alongside someone who cares, even if they don't know what to say, just offering their presence alongside someone who cared enough to just show up. Or maybe what we do is we don't know what to say, but maybe we bring water or snacks or cookies. Maybe we offer to watch someone's children for a few hours while they're having the ordeal go down. Maybe we hold a hand over our heart as a casket goes by on the back of a fire truck. Maybe we offer to listen. Maybe we offer to say a prayer, even though you don't really feel qualified to pray. Or maybe we just sit with the grieving person and we just cry with them. All of these kinds of gestures, they have a huge impact upon people who are hurting. And it may sound small or inconsequential, but my friends, I'm telling you the truth. These kinds of actions are what saints do. Saints show up. Saints aren't sinless, perfect people who always know what to say or do. And sometimes it may not actually mean weeping with people, but saints are people who make themselves available to others who are suffering, putting aside their own concerns for a few moments long enough to, in some way, go through suffering alongside people who are suffering. Such standing by someone in their troubles is the stuff of really loving one another, as Jesus taught us. Allowing ourselves to be touched by somebody else's pain or grief is something that Jesus knew a great deal about. The shortest verse in the Bible, we read it a moment ago, John 11:35, is found in our text today. It's short, but it's power-packed with meaning. In the King James Version of the Bible, the verse in John 11:35 is just two words: Jesus wept. He wept because he was with Mary and Martha, who were grieving over the death of their beloved brother Lazarus. He stood with them, and he wept. What we are talking about, of course, is empathy, which is something quite different than sympathy. Sympathy means to feel pity or sorrow for someone else. It's a good thing, but it still stands apart from the grief-causing event. When I express my sadness for you, for what you might be going through, I am feeling sympathy. But when I put myself in a place where I allow some of the weight of your burden to fall onto a part of me or onto my shoulder, so to speak, to feel some of what it might be like to be in your position, then I'm feeling not sympathy, but empathy. This All Saints Sunday is a time to remember our predecessors in the faith and in our lives and in our families who are no longer with us. What makes so many of them saintly in our memories is not that they were perfect. It's not that they always knew what to say, but rather in times of need, they were accessible. In times of need, they were available. In times of our own need, they showed up, and it made a difference in our lives. Saints are not sinless. Saints are not perfect. Saints are present, especially with those who are hurting. Saints are accessible. Some of us may think from time to time that anything we could do is inadequate in the face of the enormity of someone else's pain, and yet time and time again, showing up even when we feel there's nothing we can do proves to be remarkably helpful to those who are hurting. Urban Holmes, an Episcopalian priest, tells of a friend of his, a fellow priest, who one summer afternoon was called to a home in his parish. The only child of a couple in his congregation had been killed. Before the birth of this child, the couple had tried for years and years to have a baby, and now, in a terrible accident, the boy they had longed for so many years, lay dead in his own front yard under the wheels of his own father's car. The priest felt an oppressive sense of grief come over himself as he headed for this family's home, but he still went anyway, and he said he entered the house where the parents sat clinging to one another. The blood of the son was still on the father's trousers, but before the priest could speak, he broke into uncontrolled sobs himself, which went on for a long time before the pastor could collect himself. By the way, there's no pastoral counseling manual that says, first weep uncontrollably. And perhaps some would say this pastor, this priest, had blown it. But some weeks later, the couple told this priest that there could have been no more effective ministry to them than what he had done, because what he had done is entered with them into the mystery of death, fought the demons of grief himself right alongside them, and in the process, they said, he'd become like an angel of good news for them, simply because he entered into their pain for a moment, standing beside them. Now, we may hesitate to help out of embarrassment. Maybe we feel like we don't know what to say when someone else is hurting. Maybe we feel like, you know, we're afraid that we might break down, or we might fear that we would appear silly, and so we convince ourselves that the other person really is better off if we just let them be and leave them alone. But when we go to comfort someone, there certainly are things we probably should not say. In fact, I've thought of preaching a whole series of sermons about things you should never say to someone who are hurting. We'll just go over them here in case you need to take notes. Catch me after service. We'll make sure you got them. But we probably shouldn't say things like, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. Give me a break. Or, you know, God needed her more in heaven than we did down here. Barf. Or, he looks so natural. Love that. Open casket funeral. Or, well, you know, you're young, you can have more children. Or, you know, there are other fish in the ocean. But aside from not indulging in insensitive comments like these, we help most not by what we say, but by where we are. Are we there? Are we willing to show up? Are we willing to put our embarrassment aside and take a risk of showing up when it counts most? Now, while it is true that someone who has experienced the same kind of loss might be better suited to help in a similar circumstance, it's also true that we don't have to have gone through a divorce ourselves or cancer ourselves to show up for someone who has cancer or is going through a divorce. We can show up anyway. And finally, we may hesitate to show up for someone in their pain because the pain of our own wounds, the pain of our own losses, might still be with us in some way. And yet God does not call us to reach out only when we are on solid ground ourselves. It doesn't work that way. There's an old legend in the Talmud, which is a collection of ancient rabbinic writings that is the basis of a religious authority in the Jewish faith, and it goes like this. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi came upon Elijah the prophet, and he asked Elijah, "When will the Messiah come?" Elijah replied, "Go ask yourself." "Well, where is he?" "Sitting at the gates of the city." "How shall I know him?" "He is sitting among the poor, covered with wounds. The others unbind all their wounds at the same time and then bind them right back up again. But he unbinds one wound at a time and binds it back up again, saying to himself, 'Perhaps I shall be needed. If so, I must always be ready so as not to delay for a moment.' Even when we who are wounded put ourselves close by others who are freshly wounded, we can still give the gift of ourselves. That's an act of Christian love, my friends. At least 80% of compassion is just showing up. Today, we give thanks for the saints who have shaped us. They showed up in our lives, and by the grace of God, we will show up for others too. Amen.